R, the first letter of the Sanskrit alphabet, is the beginning of the Vedic literature. Without Akar, nothing can be sounded. Therefore, it is the beginning of sound. In Sanskrit, there are also many compound words, of which the dual word, like Ram Krishna, is called Dhruva. In this compound, the words Ram and Krishna have the same form, and therefore the compound is called dual. Among all kinds of killers, time is the ultimate, because time kills everything. Time is the representative of Krishna, because in due course of time, there will be a great fire and everything will be annihilated. Among the living entities who are creators, Brahma, who has four heads, is the chief. Therefore, he is a representative of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Om Gyan Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshun Vilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishnadeshaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Thinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare So reading from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, verse number 33, translation. Of letters, I am the letter A. And among compound words, I am the dual compound. I am also inexhaustible time. And of creators, I am Brahma. Hare Krishna. So in 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shows his universal form to Arjuna, Virat Roop. So therein, seeing the universal form, Arjuna offers his prayers. Arjuna is sitting at one place, one location in Kurukshetra, and from there he is able to see the whole universe. There is no modern technology in which you can see the whole universe on a screen sitting at one place. But Krishna shows his whole universal form, the whole Brahmand, right in the screen of space. And Arjuna is surprised, seeing such a wonderful, amazing form. He sees this form had unlimited mouths, unlimited faces, eyes, crowns, arms, thighs, bellies, unlimited weapons in each arms, in each hand. and he couldn't find the beginning of this form, he couldn't find the end of this form, and he couldn't find the middle of this form. He saw Lord Brahma sitting on a lotus flower. He saw Lord Shiv. He saw the Adityas, the Vasus, the Rishis, the Maruts, Indra, Chandra, Varun, Vayu, Agni. He saw the sun, the moon, and so much glaring effulgence coming out of this form that Arjuna had difficulty even in seeing. He saw that everything in the creation. Then other great leaders of the planets in the different planetary systems who also had facility to see this form, they were afraid and they were offering prayers and chanting Vedic hymns and worshipping this form. And even Arjuna's mind was bewildered, disturbed. On such a wonderful form, he developed fear. He knew Krishna from so many years, with whom he played, with whom he dined, with whom he slept on the same bed, with whom he travelled and went to the forest for hunting on the same chariot. And that Krishna suddenly shows that he is the full universe. And he has so many heads and so many hands and so many legs and thighs and so many big, big teeth. And he was seeing all Bhishma, Dronacharya, Duryodhan, Karna, Dushasan, and unlimited soldiers all entering the mouth of this form, various mouth of this form, crushed under the teeth, their heads smashed, fire was coming out of the mouth. Seeing all this, Arjuna got perturbed. He got fearful. He offered obeisances. He folded his hands and he said, "Who are you? I don't know you." He's Krishna's friend. But what does he say? "I don't know you. Who are you? And what is your mission? What is the purpose?" And what does Krishna reply? He says, "Kalo asmi, I am time, the destroyer of the entire world." So time, Kal, is Krishna. And what is the mission of Kal? To destroy, to annihilate. There is no one as powerful as time in the matter of destruction. So Krishna says, "I am time." Time is such a fundamental concept and element in this whole material nature. But up till now, nobody has defined time. Anytime in your school or college textbooks, you had a chapter on time? Or a definition of time? They don't understand what is time. And they talk about time kya hua aaj. That is not time. That is measurement of time. And that is not real measurement of time. It is a number we have attached. We have made a clock. That clock has nothing to do with time. It is just our convenience sake we have done. time is the actual background force of motion. Motion means an object, if it is at point A, then afterwards it should be at point B. That is called motion. Simple definition. Right? If the object is at point A and afterwards also at point A, we don't call it motion. Clear? Is time involved here? Yes? How? Afterwards. What is afterwards? That's time. If object is at point A at time t1 and at point B at time t2, and if A is not equal to B and t1 is not equal to t2, then it is called motion. It's not complicated. Object should be at two different locations at two different times, at two different measurement of times, then it is called motion. So time keeps on moving. Time is never still. So an object in space, in a location, may be still. Our object may be at point A and after some time again at point A. Has it moved? As far as space is concerned, it's not moved. But as far as time is concerned, the movement has happened. This is real definition of motion. Time has moved. It's not the same object. It is not the same object. Because time has influenced that object and that object has moved towards destruction. Object has moved towards its expiry date. Has moved. So time is a force in the background, not visible, but it gives motion. It moves an object towards its end. Like in the ocean, you see waves. What is wave? What is a wave? Movement of air. Wave is water. Is wave made of anything else? Wave is water. Wave actually is the effect of wind on water. But is the wind visible? No. Only a wave is visible. So when we see a wave, we conclude the existence of wind. The existence of a force which is on the surface of the water, which is creating waves. The existence of some force, some unknown force on the surface of water, which is creating waves. In the same way, everything which is moving in this world is moving by some force, invisible force, to certain class of people, unknown force, and that is टाइम, काल, एंड व्हाट इज द पर्पस ऑफ टाइम, व्हाई ऑल दिस मूवमेंट हैपन्स, सो दैट डिस्ट्रक्शन अकर्स. एवरीथिंग विच इज क्रिएटेड इन द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड, including the material world, will be destroyed. And who will do this destruction? Time. That's the job of time. Time influences every object. Every object is influenced by time. And the object undergoes 6 changes: birth, growth, maintenance, byproducts, dwindling, and destruction. Every object undergoes these 6 changes. Child, the body is born, small baby, then second it grows, becomes young, then third it maintains its youth for some time, then fourth the body gives byproducts, then the fifth the body becomes old, and sixth it dies. 6 changes. Everything in the material world, 6 or less changes are occurring. A flower, there's a bird, that's birth, then blooms, that's growth, then stays for some time, a day or few hours, that's maintenance, then gives byproducts, fragrance and pollen, and then brings up dwindle, reduces in size, and then dies, finishes. 6 changes. The speaker undergoes changes. Created new as raw material is there. Then a shape is formed, growth happens. Then remains like that for some time. Then gives output. Then it's now dwindling. Then it will die. Time has effect on everything, but not on soul, and not on super soul, and not on relationship between soul and super soul. Even material relationships, a boy and girl relationship, a husband and wife relationship, it will be born when they marry, then it will grow, the relationship will attain more parameters, more attachment, affection, care, responsibilities, duties, will maintain itself to give byproducts, then it will start dwindling, and then one day the relationship will die. Nowadays dwindling happens fast. Kali Yuga. So relationships also are influenced by time. Objects also influenced by time. Personalities also influenced by time. Somebody's name also is influenced by time. Somebody becomes famous in this world. His fame is born. Then it grows. More and more people come to know. Goes into media. Then it maintains its fame. Then some byproducts of the fame are there, some awards, some chief guests, some invitations. Then it dwindles, people start forgetting him and die. Then nobody remembers the next generation. They don't know who was that person. But the soul doesn't undergo these changes. Krishna, he doesn't undergo these changes. Our relationship with Krishna doesn't undergo these changes. beyond time, eternal, constant. Apart from this, time influences everything and everybody. So time is so powerful. We are under this time. We are not controller of this time. So this powerful time, this instrument of destruction, this eternal force is representative of Krishna. Even the great Brahma, Indra, Chandra, they are under this time. They also dwindle and die. Their post also get finished. Nobody has won over time. Even death, somebody becomes, when his time has come, samay aa gaya, then he dies. Even death is dependent on the duration of life. When a person is supposed to die, that time is fixed, how many breaths he has. Time is so powerful. Clear? There is one more hour I can speak on time, but that will be too technical. So we'll go next. For us, this is sufficient. Krishna is the inexhaustible time. He destroys everything. We should value time very highly. We should respect time. And at whatever time we are committed to do a particular service, we should be present. We should be available. A person should value and commit, be punctual. We should never waste others' time and our time. Time cannot be purchased even with millions of dollars. If a person is about to die, he can't tell to the doctor, take my all wealth and give me 24 hours more. I have some unfinished business. No, it can't be extended. Time is something which once wasted cannot be recovered. So with such a valuable time, we should do very important things, not unnecessary things. And the most important thing is to serve Krishna, chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, read and hear scriptures. So we should do this, not waste our time in so-called newspapers, magazines, novels, boxes, idiot boxes, television, cable, cinema, movie, theater. We should not waste time in all this. Chatting, gossiping, prajalpa, worldly talks, Gramya Katha, village talks, what is happening in neighbor's house, what is happening in Shah Rukh Khan's house, what is happening in Iraq, what is happening on North Pole, what is happening in forest, what is happening in your house, first you know that. So we should not waste time in all this. All this kachara. We should be busy in Krishna consciousness. Very busy, very active. One of the symptom of a devotee who loves Krishna is avyartha kalatvam. He never wastes his time, not even a moment, without service to Krishna. Constantly engaged in chanting, hearing, speaking and other devotional activities. If we are wasting our time, it is more than wasting money. It is more than wasting millions of dollars. Because money wasted can be recovered, but time wasted cannot be recovered. So we should dedicate ourselves to our spiritual growth and use all our time available for growth in Krishna consciousness. If we use our time for so-called material advancement, anyway the same time is going to kill that advancement. That advancement and material growth also will undergo six changes. So anyway, whatever advancement and progress and growth we have, one day is going to be finished. So why to invest permanent time in temporary fruits? It is like purchasing 100 rupee note with 500 rupee. Why to use more valuable time and in return gain some less valuable material profit? Does it make sense to exchange 500 rupee note with somebody 100 rupee note? Doesn't it make sense? So you exchange your time with material growth, doesn't make sense. So we should maintain our body and soul together. That much material work we should do. And should not make a complicated life. Very simple life where we can get up early morning, do Mangala Arati, chant our rounds, do Guru Puja, read and hear Bhagavatam. This sadhana we are able to do. Accordingly, we should make our lifestyle. Accordingly, we should earn money. To keep on earning lots of money, that's not going to give us any happiness. By that, we can't purchase happiness. We can't purchase time. The time is gone. Somebody was saying, modern man is such that he wastes his health to earn wealth. Then after that, he wastes his wealth to again earn back health.
Thank you.
So he's earning for doctors basically, not for himself. So why we should have that lifestyle? It is very essential to use our time for most beneficial activity, highly important, valuable activity. And that is Krishna's service. That is devotional service, loving devotional service to Krishna. And a devotee who is 24 hours engaged in Krishna's service, time doesn't have effect on him. Time doesn't have influence on his achievements. That devotee's achievements are eternal. Like Hanumanji. What he achieved is eternal. Still today, Hanumanji, we remember him. Almost 12-13 lakh years are over. And still today, we talk about Hanumanji. Do we remember any person who was born 500-600 years materially? No, but Hanumanji, we remember. His fame is eternal. His service to Lord Ram was so exemplary. So a devotee, he is not affected. His devotional service is not affected by time. Time cannot disturb a devotee. So we should use our time seriously in Krishna's service. Never waste time. If you have time, you should give it to Krishna. you should ask for service. You should say, Prabhuji, I have time, few hours per week. I want to do some service. Please give me some service. Lokmanya Tilak, he said, service is my birthright, I shall have it. No. He says, Swaraj is my birthright, I shall have it. But actually, service is our birthright. It's our adhikar. And we should have it. We should ask for service. It's our right to go to the spiritual master and say, give me service. He can't say, time nahi hai. Then for what he has time, if he doesn't have time for giving service. So devotional service is our birthright. It's our adhikar. And we should not be bereft of it. We should be engaged in some service, some commitment, some responsibility. So we'll feel, yes, I am serving Krishna. We are part and parcel of Krishna. We have a natural relationship of service to Krishna, of love to Krishna. So we should engage in that service. We should express our love with that service. Not sit idle thinking, oh, I am so fallen, I can't do anything. That is false humility. No, that's laziness. That's foolishness. We all, part and parcel of Krishna, are capable to do services. Okay, some skills we may not know. We will learn. Those who are already doing service, they learn somewhere. They didn't learn inside the womb of their mother. When they were born, they also were ignorant. They didn't know. As they grew up, they learned. Somebody may be playing mridanga, somebody may be playing kartal, somebody may be singing bhajans, somebody may be memorizing shlokas, doing aarti, giving class or other services. They all are skills which can be learned. Nobody learns in the womb of the mother. Comes outside only and learns. So we learn these services. And we engage ourselves. We come to temple and we do service. We have this Tuesday program, Sunday program, Saturday program. And there are services for that. Cleaning is there, cooking is there, communication is there, kirtan is there, aarti is there, maintenance is there, funding is there. So many services are there. So we should do this service. We should engage in these services. This is our adhikar, this is our right. And in that way, we will progress in Krishna. Don't talk. So further Krishna says, among creators, I am Brahma. There are many creators, but Brahma is the ultimate among all this. Though Brahma is a secondary creator, but he creates the whole universe, inside the whole universe. When the desire of creation happens within the Lord, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, then from his navel comes the lotus stem and a lotus flower. And Brahmaji takes birth on the lotus flower, on the whirl of the lotus flower, the first living entity. But Brahma doesn't know who is he? What is he supposed to do? Where is... So he sees here and there, in all the directions. So at that time, he gets three more heads, so that he doesn't have neck problems, spondylitis and all by seeing here and there. Krishna says, okay, three more heads. Don't go here and there. So at that time, the water of the universe is increasing and it's dark. Brahma has curiosity, inquiries, questions. He doesn't know what to do, what is his mission. Every person who is born, he wants to know what is his name, what is his purpose of existence, what is his what he is supposed to do when we little bit mature. Like if you get an appointment letter for a new job and you go to the office, the first question you are is, what is my designation? What I am supposed to do? What is my job profile? Where I am supposed to sit? Where is my cabin? If these three are not given to you and only salary is given to you, even though it is profitable, but it will be frustrated. Imagine you are sitting in the office, designation unknown, location unknown, work profile unknown, salary on time. Looks a good proposal, but people will commit suicide if this happens. Because this gives frustration. Others are working, they have their cabins, they have their designations, they have their profiles, and I am on bench doing nothing. Right? So, Brahmaji also says, I am on bench, what I am supposed to do? So he thinks maybe this below the lotus flower, this stem is there. This will end somewhere and I will have some information. So he goes inside the stem. For thousands of years he goes inside, but he doesn't find the end. So he takes a U-turn and comes back. He says, kuch nahi mila. Then when he again comes back with the same curiosity, he hears some sound, he hears two words, he hears which words? Tapa. Tapa, penance. And he performs penance and then he has a vision of what is below the stem. Garbhodakshay Vishnu, Shesha Nag, and he has all the knowledge revealed in his heart. Tene Rida Brahma Adi Kavaye. Krishna initiates him and reveals transcendental knowledge in his heart. And he understands the purpose of his life. He understands that he has to create. And Brahma creates such a wonderful universe. And he creates his sons, his prajapatis, and that populates the universe. Brahma is not an ordinary person. Very, very, very extremely powerful personality. The first living entity. He knows everything, every nook and corner of the universe. Every corner of BRC he knows. What is where. Much better than google.com or Google Earth, whatever that was, maps.google.com. He knows everything. So Krishna says, among creators, I am Brahma. Since Janmashtami is coming, let me take this opportunity to narrate one very nice pastime of Brahma and Vrindavan. When Krishna killed Aghasur, that was almost afternoon time. So after killing Aghasur, when the cowherd boys, the calves and Krishna were walking, they came near Yamuna river. Very cooling Yamuna water, so many lotus flowers, very fragrant breeze was flowing and so many trees, they were giving shades and so fine sand was there. So Krishna said, this is good place for eating lunch, and we are already afternoon time, we are already hungry. So my dear Sakhas, my proposal is we eat lunch now. And all the Sakhas said, Hari Bol, yes, we will eat lunch. So some small calves they tied on the trees, some calves they let loose for drinking water and eating grass, and they made a big circle. And Krishna sat in the center of the circle. And they started eating their dabba, their tiffin. they would remove the foodstuffs from their tiffin and keep it in plates. But they never brought plates from the house. They will use natural plates. Somebody will use leaf or a combination of leaf or flower or rock or wooden piece or fruit, or in the same basket they will eat which they brought. So they will use all this as plates. And how will they eat? One sakha will take out some item, say samosa, and will eat first, take a bite, and say, "Krishna, my mother made so nice samosa, you also have," and put in Krishna's mouth. His jutha, he will put in Krishna's mouth. Somebody will pick up a laddu, take a bite, and say, "Krishna, my mother made so nice laddu," and put it in Krishna's mouth. And Krishna also, whatever he had, he will distribute. So at that time, Lord Brahma, he came down. Why he came down? Because few moments before, Lord Brahma heard lots of sound. There were lots of singing, dancing, and musical instruments being played in Swargaloka. Very big party was going on in Swargaloka, so big that the sound reached Brahmaloka. So Brahma said, "Pagal ho gaye ye log, what happened? So loud party they are doing." He came to Swargaloka and said, "What is happening here?" And the Devata said, "You don't know? Such a good news." He said, "What?" That Agasur got killed. The Devatas were so afraid of Agasur that they would never come down on earth planet till Agasur was alive. So Devatas were having a fun party because Agasur got killed. Now they can go to earth planet. So Brahma said, "Is it?" "Yes." "Sir, who killed him?" "A small boy." "Small boy? Even Devatas can't kill Agasur, and small Lala killed him?" "Said, yes, he is Vishnu." "That Pagal?" Brahma said, "Vishnu? Vishnu as a boy? Impossible. I am so close to Vishnu. I know all his schedules and all his activities. What, he will come in a small village?" Brahma didn't believe that this boy is Krishna. But then how a small boy can kill Agasur? That has to be Vishnu. So to sort out this contradiction, Brahma personally came down. And after coming down, he was convinced that this boy is not God. Why? Because he was sitting in the forest and eating dabba, eating other boys' ka jutha, and instead of a golden plate, on a rock. And that too, he was having rice, yogurt and fruit in his hand. And when he was eating, it was all flowing from his fingers and falling on his dhoti. Vishnu doesn't eat with these bad manners. Vishnu is sophisticated. He eats sitting on an asan. And his plate is also on another asan. And there's golden plate. And Lakshmiji very, very carefully, fearfully serves in golden bowls and golden spoons. And one servant is there fanning him, another servant is there fanning him, and Sudarshan Chakra is there with folded hands waiting behind. That is how my Vishnu eats. Why will my Vishnu come in village and eat with these coward boys? that too without plate, and that too with so ill manners, no dining manners, and that too this boy is jhoota. No, no, this is not Vishnu. I guarantee this is not Vishnu. But then the question is, how Agasur got killed? He has to be some powerful person to kill Agasur. Brahma said, okay, we will test it out. And what did Brahma do? He stole the calves and the boys by his mystic potency. As Krishna and the coward boys were eating, suddenly they saw calves are not there. And all their interest in eating finished. The coward boys became afraid. Said, Krishna, Krishna, where are our calves? Krishna said, hey, Sakhas, don't stop your eating. Don't worry. You eat. You enjoy lunch. I will personally go and search our calves. And Krishna left his lunch in between so that his Sakhas don't stop their lunch. And he personally went to search the calves. But he didn't find the calves. He personally went with his jhoota haath, with that yogurt, rice and fruit salad in his hands, dripping. He went like this. Not like this, like this. Searching all over calves. Not there. He came back and he shouted, my dear Sakhas, I couldn't find the calves. But then he saw, even the Sakhas are not there. Krishna is alone. Calves gayab ho gaya, Sakhas gayab ho gaya. Nobody around. Krishna was thinking, where did they go? What happened? Then he realized this is Brahma's job. He could have showed his Vishnu form to Brahma and finished the game. But Krishna had another plans. What did he do? From his self, he expanded himself into thousands of boys and thousands of forms, thousands of calves, all different forms. Same set of coward boys and same set of calves. Same eyes, same hands, same legs, same color. He expanded himself. And then in the evening, all are Krishna, but all different forms. They went back to the village of Gokul. The calves entered the cowshed and the cows started licking the calves and feeding them milk. All the boys entered each of their individual home and behaved and spoke in the same way as the original boys. And the mothers were bathing them, oiling them, dressing them, feeding them milk, etc. And every house of Vrindavan Krishna was present. Every cowshed of Vrindavan Krishna was present as a calf and as a cowherd boy. And before this pastime, generally, all the mothers of Vrindavan would love Yashoda's son more than their sons. But now onwards, all the mothers of Vrindavan were loving their own sons as Krishna. And their love for their son was increasing. And the cow's love for calves was increasing. Such a divine atmosphere was there in Vrindavan. In fact, all the mothers of Vrindavan had a hidden desire to have Krishna as their son. And that desire Krishna fulfilled when Brahma stole all the bows, boys and cows. For full 1 year this Leela went on and nobody could detect that these are not original boys and these are not original calves. Nobody, even Balram didn't knew this. So just 4 or 5 days before the year was ending, Krishna with his coward boys and calves were going in Vrindavan, and the cows were with coward men, the elderly men, they were on the top of Govardhan Hill. Now the calves which Krishna and the boys would take care, they were little grown up calves. They will no longer drink milk. They will more depend on grass. Small calves, they drink milk. They were in Goshala. Grown up calves, they were with Krishna, Balram and the cowherd boys, and their mothers were on Govardhan. So when the cows saw their calves, suddenly they developed so much affection, they couldn't control themselves and they ran from top of Govardhan down from the hill and went to their calves, grown up calves, and started giving them their milk and licking their body. Even though ordinary these grown up calves would not be given milk. The road when they came down off the hill was very rough with rocks, bushes, thorns. But these cows, they were running so fast as if they had only two legs. You would not be able to see four legs. Only two legs you'll be able to see. They were running so fast. Even though they were hurt, they were wounded, but still they were running and feeding milk to their grown-up calves. This never happened. Surprising. And the cowherd men on Govardhan who were controlling these cows, they couldn't control these cows. They were calling, calling, but these cows were not listening. They were pulling, but these cows were not listening. The cowherd men became frustrated and angry. First of all, these cows ran away. And second of all, we couldn't control them. So with very great difficulty, they came down Govardhan with anger to take their cows back. But when they came down and saw their sons, all their anger evaporated. And they all embraced their sons, kissed their forehead, smelled their forehead. Unprecedented love, which was ordinarily not visible. So Balram saw all this and he said, told Krishna, hey, ye baat samajh mein nahi aaya. I didn't understand what is happening. These calves don't require milk. This affection of cows for the calf is more than normal. And this cowherd man came running to meet these boys. This is also more than normal love. Who are all this? Earlier I thought they are some demigods or some sages like Narad Muni, who are your devotees, now became Brajavasis. But this so much love, it seems that you are the one who is expanding. The love for their boys and cow's love for their calves is equivalent to a jiva's love for Krishna. This is not jiva's love for jiva so much. I am bewildered. What is happening? Who are all this? Then Krishna said, look, bhaiya, that day you didn't come to the forest and Agasur was killed and this Brahma, you know, four-headed Brahma, he stole all our calves and boys. So then I expanded and these are all me. And Balram was surprised. Since 1 year you have expanded into every cowshed and every house and I am playing with them. But since 1 year I couldn't understand this pastime. Even Balram couldn't understand. Krishna is unfathomable. Krishna is unlimited. Such a nice master. Such a supremely powerful master. Who will be absent on his birthday? So we should all come for Janmashtami. Celebrate it very grandly. Do fasting till midnight. Attend Abhishek, Aarti, Kirtan, dance, sing, chant nicely and do lots of service on Janmashtami. We should please the Lord. On the day of birthday, He is more merciful. He is daily merciful, but on birthday, He is more merciful. It's like if some small children have chocolates and if you go, they will not give you. They will keep for themselves. But on birthday, they will give 2-3 chocolates. All children go and distribute very happily in school and their classroom chocolates on birthday, right? But other days, they will keep the chocolate in the bag. They will not give to anybody. Why? Because birthday, more merciful. So Krishna is also birthday, more merciful. So we serve Him nicely and He blesses us. So when Balram heard the whole story, he said, Dandavat Pranam, you are great. But this is just half story. Then Brahma came down after full 1 year. For Brahma it was one moment. So when Brahma came down, hoping to see a very big chaotic condition, because all the calves and cowherd boys suddenly are disappearing from the village, it will be a very chaotic condition. He came and saw exactly same scene. Krishna sitting and having lunch and all the cowherd boys sitting around and eating their dabba. Brahma said, oh, who are these cowherd boys? All the set of cowherd boys I stole and they are sleeping under my mystic potency. And who are these? So he again went back where he have hidden them. And he saw all are sleeping. Same set here, two sets. He said, which is original? Which is duplicate? From where does this set come? Brahma got completely bewildered. He was trying to show his power to Krishna, but within his own mystic power, he got illusioned. He got bewildered. He didn't even get time to think, who are this set of boys? Suddenly each boy became Vishnu form. Four-handed, blackish body, nice golden crown, nice garland, yellow dhoti, four hands having chanka chakra gada padma. He saw one Vishnu, he saw thousands of Vishnu. And Brahma was more bewildered. He said, not one, two, three, four, so many Vishnus? These cowherd boys were Vishnu? Then what were these cowherd boys? And then Krishna is sitting in between. All side Vishnus are sitting. And suddenly saw all Vishnus entering into Krishna's body. Brahma was more bewildered. And then he again saw all the original cowherd boys sitting there. And Krishna having food in his hand and they are joking as if nothing happened. It's called Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma got very bewildered. And after that, in secret, in privacy, Lord Brahma approached Krishna and he offered his obeisances with his four heads touching the ground. How we can even offer obeisances with four heads touching the ground? Possible? How can anybody explain? Okay, homework. Think about it. How four heads were touching the ground when he was offering obeisances? Tough job. One head is okay. With four hands offering Danvat Pranam, tough job. And he offered so many prayers, so beautiful prayers to Krishna. And after offering the prayers, he ran away. Didn't even wait for Krishna to give an answer. He was so afraid. This is Brahma Vimohan Leela. This is great Lord Brahma. And this is great Lord Krishna. So we are very fortunate that we know Krishna's greatness and we should surrender to Krishna. This knowledge should help us to be inspired that yes, Krishna is my master and I give my life to Krishna. I surrender my life to Krishna. I will become a nice devotee of Krishna. That is success of this human form. Okay, we'll end here. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna. If there are any questions, we will take.